fact that most people on earth can make a significant piece of content if they're capable and reap the rewards of it without amassing an audience for free is remarkable.
Yeah.
Every piece of content now is an individually judged piece of content on the merit of its creative and what it brings the audience. And that allows people to quote unquote go viral or get incredible amounts of reach with no cost associated with it, rendering us being in the first time in history where the creative is the variable to reach.
Attention is the number one asset.
When the battle for consumer attention is fierce and ever-changing, understanding how to effectively capture and leverage this attention is crucial. Today, we're joined by Gary Vaynerchuk, serial entrepreneur, chairman of VaynerX, CEO of VaynerMedia, and author of his new book, his seventh, called Day Trading Attention. And we're going to talk about the evolution of attention in marketing, the power of storytelling, and the future of digital advertising. So just a few things there. So Gary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's get started by talking about your new book, Day Trading Attention. You know, what drove you to write it? What were some of the gaps that you were seeing in how brands are approaching things? And, you know, what was kind of the impetus for creating it?
You know, it's a great question. I wrote a book 10 years ago called Jab, 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 Right Hook. And to this day, I get 3 to 5 emails a day from people saying, man, thank you so much for this book. It's really helping my social media content. And I'm like, man, like awesome in the macro principles, but boy, has a lot changed.
Right, right.
And so between that and the post-COVID energy from the CMO set in Fortune 5000 land has really inspired me because what I realized during COVID was, I mean, I had hundreds of 15-minute to 2-hour Zooms with most of the Fortune 500 companies, a lot of CMOs, but a lot of like brand managers, associate brand managers, top, you know, innovation, this head of media, that, like just like a real set. And then obviously that's the Gary Vaynerchuk part of my life. And then the Gary V part of my life, unlimited creators starting CPG brands, Influencers, creators, every entrepreneur now kind of wants to film themselves or do a podcast, chop up. Like There's a new world order. And I would argue that we have not gone through many transitions this substantial around attention, which is obviously the currency that allows one to market in or create, change of perception at its worst, manipulate. And so we're really in a place similar to what happened when the radio went from being the primary device in our society to the television. Yeah. And I believe that the cell phone has now completely taken that mantle, even though many of your listeners continue to spend way too much time and energy on planning a television campaign as its starting point. Right. I believe that organic social media is very clearly over the last 5 years, but especially the last 18 months, established itself as the single most important starting point for any brand positioning, marketing campaign, and just marketing.
Yeah.
And so it just became obvious to me that people are starting to take serious something I've been pontificating about for 15 years. And it itself has changed. The TikTokification of social media is here. And obviously we'll probably go into that in this interview. So, intuitively I felt it was time and I was ready to challenge myself. My last book, 12 and a half, was very philosophical, leadership, humanity, and I loved it. And I love doing that. But I love bouncing back between macro and micro.
Yeah.
This is the most textbook like book I've ever written. This is the book that I most think many companies will buy one copy for every one of their employees in marketing. And honestly, as you know, more and more people are realizing almost all their employees need to know about marketing to some degree.
Right. Right.
And so I kind of feel like I had it in me and, you know, I'm just starting to talk to humans that have skimmed it or read it. And feedback's been overwhelming and I feel like I might have something here. And what I mean by that is I'm proud to think I might have a viral book. And what I mean by that is people are going to realize there's a lot of meat to this and they're going to pass it on. And so I'm hopeful and humbled and excited and was ready to write it because the details matter in being great at this. Social media marketing is the hardest marketing craft. Yeah. Yet most people mail it in or see it as like the 20th most important thing. Or when they do it, they think it's easy. They're like, post something and make it go viral.
Right. Right.
So, you know, that's kind of the energy, my brother.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I love the book for the, you know, the reason you mentioned is just, you know, as a fairly pragmatic person, I like the practical, you know, the practical insights. And I mean, I will say, you know, writing a book that lasts, that you're still getting feedback 10 years later about stuff that moves so quickly, quite an achievement as well for the,
And honestly, at some level, I feel like it's inappropriate, which is why, like, I wanted to write another one. Like, there's a part of me that's like, ugh, you know, follow my social media. You're going to get more tangible insights. But really, people that follow me on social, I do tend to go very macro. To your point, my framework in life is practical optimism. I'm obsessed with practicality. I'm an operator.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think people understand how much of a practitioner of social media I am. And so this was an easy book for me to write. But to your point, like, this is a nerdy book. Like, this is detailed.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so, you know, practical today. And you mentioned a term that's used in the book as well, the TikTokification of social media. So I wanted to just ask you to explain that a little bit. And, you know, what does this mean in terms of businesses creating content?
It means that everybody that's dreamed of what television can do for the last 10 years, which it was not capable of doing, is now possible. Let me explain. Social media that I grew up with, you know, I know most people are going to listen, but for the people that see the video, I'm circling some stock certificates. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, the first three companies I invested in very early, well before their pre-IPO or exit. That social media, the one that I started being obsessed with in 2006, up until the first 15 years, called 2021, though what I'm talking about started a little bit earlier, was predominantly based around the social graph.
Yeah.
And was done really like email marketing. So for the OGs in this call, or the ones that still do email marketing, you know, I had an email newsletter from my dad's wine store in 1998 that had 91% open rates.
Not bad.
Not bad. Other marketers ruin everything, and we all email too much, and now it's 20-30% if you're good. But that was what social media was. Go out and get as many people to follow you as humanly possible so that a percentage of them would see it, right?
Yeah.
And that was great for people like me that were able to build communities and have consistent awareness, and that was great. Now, what's happened is the fact that most people on earth can make a significant piece of content if they're capable and reap the rewards of it without amassing an audience for free is remarkable.
Yeah.
Every piece of content now is an individually judged piece of content on the merit of its creative and what it brings the audience. And that allows people to quote unquote go viral or get incredible amounts of reach with no cost associated with it, rendering us being in the first time in history where the creative is the variable to reach, not creative is supplied with money to create reach. AKA, we have spent the last 30 years forcing people to see stuff that they did not want to see by spending tons of money on it and losing in marketing. And now we can use organic social to get consumer insights, to get awareness, to get reach, to create more relevance because we can make more of it for different consumer segmentations. And so simply put, every platform that matters right now, the 10 that matter, the 7 that matter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Snap, they allow creative to get dramatically more reach if it's resonating with consumers, allowing us as marketers to extract qualitative and quantitative insights. And so we call them SMAs at VaynerMedia, social media ads. And when we have insights, both quant and qual, we can either turn it into brand performance ads, aka turn the creative into performance slightly with a tweak, amplify them heavily with media, even more than the 5 million organic reach or 400,000 or even 30,000, which is more than our normal 500 with media, just like you would do a television spot
or
a print ad. Or take the insights from the actual social media post and use it as a brief to create what we call 6 socially informed campaigns, thus mitigating the risk of the campaign because you got actual affirmation that there's consumer interest in it, not focus group or bullshit reporting that most Fortune 500 companies run on.
Right. I mean, because I think what you're saying, I mean, with enough dollars spent, right, you can quote unquote make something go viral. Right? I mean, you can make a lot, you can get a lot of eyeballs on something, but
I think it's potential. I actually think there's a misconceived notion on that. Our world, the audience of this podcast and what I do for a living, actually spend a lot of money on media to have it not be seen by everyone.
Mm, yeah.
This is a very important point, brother, where you were about to go that I would like to tweak and debate and pontificate and conversate about is just because you spend $7 million, by the way, on social, on digital, on linear, doesn't mean that it's being seen.
Yeah.
It's potential, you know, the biggest disease in this industry is potential reach versus actualized reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every GRP, every impression, every CPM, think about a billboard.
Right. How do you
buy, I mean, like, they're all fake metrics. And so what is very real is the algorithms on social media are so good that they want to keep you on. So they're going to show people with a high propensity of liking this thing, the thing. And if us as people continue to like and comment and share and engage or spend time looking at it or watching, you're telling the algo yes, which gives more confidence, which allows it to get reach. That is a truth.
Yeah. Good point.
That is a truth, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I can make a video that I think is great, and I've done this a long time, and I trust my subjective opinion. But if I decide to spend $1 million on Facebook to amplify it before I do it organically, I'm guessing.
Right, right.
And that's happening every day in marketing. And so that's where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, that democratizes the process too, right? I mean, that, you know, it allows that person that creates that video, you used an anecdote in the book, you know, somebody creates a video and was, you know, debating whether or not to even post it. And all of a sudden it, you know, it blows up without them spending a dime on it. Right.
And that is like remarkable. Like that is actually what we as marketers want. We want, the reason we have focus groups and, you know, do all this TV testing and A/B testing and like, is because we'd like to mitigate the risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are now sitting with the biggest risk mitigator of all time called social media organic. While it's mitigating your risk for more campaigns, it's also doing marketing and branding.
Right.
Testing is being done in boardrooms. This is being done with consumers. It is the ultimate. And yet our industry doesn't have it as one of the top 15 most important things. They in-house it as a cost savings with a couple of kids on it.
Right.
They give it to creative agencies and pay them a fortune for it, because they don't even care because they're actually just focused on the television spot or the brand slogan. Right. It is the great poison of our industry right now that we do not respect organic social media when it's sitting there and building up our competitors that have far less money in distribution because they're outflanking us on where the attention actually is and what the creative is that is required to get it.
Yeah, yeah. And so let's, you know, kind of moving to...
Actually, before you move on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If I may flip the script.
Yeah.
You skimmed or read it? You wouldn't hurt my feelings. I'm just curious before I ask the question.
I skimmed the middle and I read the beginning and the end. Just brutally honest.
I like that. Out of all the things that you consumed in your skim or reading, what was most aha in the book?
I mean, I think it's kind of what you were touching on as far as just how we're still, and, you know, I work a lot on, I don't work as much in social media as I do in other areas, but I think brands are thinking of social media as another kind of advertising, whether there's social media advertising, of course, but they're thinking of organic as another type of advertising and not thinking of it in terms of, you know, that there has to be some authenticity. And I think, you know, we're decades in now to social media being a thing, and consumers, they're a lot smarter than I think a lot of brands take them credit for. So I think it's that idea of, you know, just needing to not think about it like every other medium.
That's right. Because every other medium, the creative is the variable of success. Yeah. However, all of it is supported with media dollars, all of which hides the truth if the creative's good or not, all of which is being measured by things that are usually proxies, not the actual business.
Yeah.
It's profoundly wild. And it's really too bad. Like, I don't believe a single Fortune 500 company right now thinks organic social media is the single most important part of their marketing mix and skill sets needed and investment of dollars needed. And all of them do. All of them. Every B2B and every B2C. Every B2B company has remarkable opportunity on LinkedIn marketing. And it's just, I can't believe how many companies spent $1 million building a metaverse store and don't spend $1 million on organic social, or how many people have PR, traditional PR companies on $50,000, $100,000 retainers for the year to do press releases and traditional PR, but don't spend $1 million on organic social. And if you're a Fortune 500 company, because don't forget, organic social is fascinating. Us as a social media agency, the ones that I watch, you not only get the strategy and the creative, but you get the production of making it.
Right. Right.
It's not like classic above the line brand building where you just get the ideas and decks and then you have to pay a production company to make it.
Right. Right.
It's just, it's incredibly fascinating to watch, but I'm starting to feel, hence why I wrote it, I'm starting to feel people are feeling the pressure. I feel like a lot of people are on a treadmill right now, on a plane right now, walking their dog right now, listening to the two of us, and are these marketers who are very smart, but know that they can't get the organization there, or they haven't been able to get it there, or they don't know how to score it. But I think in their stomachs, they know this has become a thing. And if they don't figure it out soon, it's going to become a bigger problem. They're going to lose market share.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then, you know, along those lines, I mean, you know, one of the things you talk about in the book is, you know, identifying what you refer to as like underpriced channels, and, you know, wanted to get your, you know, if you could just kind of explain that for the audience and, you know, what do you mean by that? And maybe share an example.
I think the whole framework of this book is that there's overpriced and underpriced opportunities in marketing, and they're not macro statements. I think every brand on earth can waste $10 million on social media tomorrow.
Yeah.
If they buy their media like it's television against one asset that wasn't made for the context of Facebook or YouTube Shorts or Snap. Like, if you don't know how to make content for the room you're in, and then you just spend a ton of money, you can wait. Like, people are wasting tons of money on social, treating it like television or programmatic banner buying.
Right, right.
Yeah. So underpriced channels. When the organic reach potential per post is greater than it is somewhere else in social or traditional for the cost associated for making the creative. Meaning, if you can make creative that amortizes out to cost you $1,000 because of your agency fee or your internal fee, and you did that on TikTok 4 years ago where every post, every third post was getting 1 million followers
right.
because there's
right.
so many people on it, yet so few people creating for that demand, well, that was remarkable. Today, there's a lot of Fortune 500 fashion brands who will spend a fortune on a photo shoot for a single post on their Instagram and we'll get 1,800 people seeing it or 18,000 organic reach, but they spent thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands on the photo shoot between the talent and the time and the production.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bad idea
right.
because Instagram right now is very competitive and there's more supply than demand in comparison to a TikTok. Meanwhile, people that really know how to make an Instagram post are growing rapidly. So there's the skill set and there's the macro. So platforms go through ebbs and flows. As we sit here today, Instagram is harder to crush on for 25 to 29 year olds than Snap is. If you go to Snap Spotlight, you can, on post by post, you will get more organic reach on a Snap post because most of the people listening right now are not considering Snap the way they consider TikTok and Instagram. Meanwhile, Facebook is also mildly underpriced because most marketers don't think it's cool and they don't realize how many 30, 40, 50, 60 year olds are giving plenty of attention to that platform. And that also is organically amazing.
Yeah.
But every one of these platforms can be overpriced or underpriced because if you're not good at the creative, it all becomes a waste of time no matter which platform you're on. But there's obviously moments where some platforms are really fertile. YouTube Shorts was really fertile 2 years ago. If Vine comes back, and TikTok gets shut down in the US, that is going to become very fertile. So attention moves like water, and you have to be there to catch it, but you have to have the right cup. And the right cup is the right strategy and the right creative output.
And so how do you, you know, how do you keep up with that on a, you know, let's say you're working at a brand and, you know,
spending your time in meetings that are dumb.
Good one. Yeah.
No, like real talk, like people ask me all the time, like our framework is PAC, platforms and culture. I want to know everything that's going on in these platforms, including streaming TVs, including programmatic, including print, including like I'm paying attention every day. If the Wall Street Journal wants to lower the price of a full page ad down to $1,000, because I'll buy it.
Right.
Like to me, this is not a digital or traditional or social thing. There's going to be a day and age in 10 years, brother, 13 years, 19 years, where I'm going to be yelling that social is grossly overpriced because everyone's going to be doing it.
Yeah.
And VR or AR or something I can't even imagine is going to be happening. So this is not a traditional versus digital game. This is a, are you best at understanding where attention is, actualized attention, not potential attention. And then do you know what song, jingle, character, mascot, video, like does everyone listening to this understand that the first second of every video you make on social media is life? Brother, I will tell you right now, Greg, it's inconceivable to me, knowing how great this audience is, that they are as religious about the first second of every video they post on every single social platform the way I am.
But they'll
make a long form video, an anthem video for YouTube, and spend $1 million on it. And they'll mail in the first second and it's already over. They've already left a ton of opportunity on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so there's science behind this, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And to get to that, the creative part of this too. So, you know, there's lots of talk about the importance of storytelling and authenticity. And I think, you know, tying those two things to actually making the sale, right? That's the key, right? Is, you know, how do you look at balancing those things, as well as the, you know, what you just brought up, which is the attention part of, you can't wait 60 seconds to get into the story either, right?
Yeah, I mean, you need to win the first 3 seconds in copy, thumbnail, and video to buy permission to get them to watch for 60 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I make 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 minute videos for brands and myself all the time, but I know that if I don't win the first 3 seconds, I'm gonna lose.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't wanna make a 6 minute video to explain my story. Look, I think there's a lot to this. And I think that a lot of it has to do with why the original book that I wrote was called Jab, 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 Right Hook, and why I almost call this Jab, 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 Left Hook. I think that too many people try to do branding and selling in the same asset. And I think there's places for branding and there's places for selling. And I think when you're half in on either, you're dead. So to me, when I'm making brand content, I'm desperately trying to bring incredible value through the story I'm telling for the audience. And then when I'm selling, I'm in QVC life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not scared to be like, hey, I'll do it right now. I would like every person that's listening to this to sign up for winetext.com.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm comfortable to say why, because if you drink wine, it's better than wine.com or Total Wine or anywhere else. It's something I invented for my dad's wine store. And like, I can say it's because there's $80 wines for $20. It's basically Groupon for wine on text form with super premium wines, 365 days a year. We look at 50,000 wines to buy 365. And I'm in like full selling mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not embarrassed by that. And then other stuff will make content. I do Wine Text TV. I brought myself out of retirement. And yesterday I did 28 minutes on Timorosa, a new Italian white wine. It's an old one, but it's starting to gain momentum. It's the white burgundy of Italy. And I did 30 minutes of brand. Yeah. I could care less if anyone bought a single bottle of wine. I was there to be the Katie Couric, Mr. Rogers, Walter Cronkite, Stephen A. Smith. I was there to entertain and bring value and bring information. And I know that a lot of people that are very nerdy that are listening right now are like writing down Timorosa. What's that?
Right, right.
Timorosso. Like, and what's really fun for me is wine's like media. It's underpriced. They taste like $150 Burgundies, but they're $40 because it's an esoteric grape from Italy that doesn't have enough brand yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and do you think consumers? I mean, I have a hunch that they actually respect the straightforwardness.
I think so. Well, this goes back to you. Clearly, you know, I'm getting a sense of you, and I heard you. I'm listening to every word you're saying. You clearly know what I know, which is we are delusional in boardrooms all around the world thinking this marketing is going to work on people.
Right.
I mean, you said it. You said they're smart. Consumers are smarter. Like, this is correct.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're not going to trick people. And more importantly, we do not make compelling creative. Every 30-second TV commercial is not compelling. All of them, Greg. All of them.
Yeah.
Spam email is not compelling. Banner ads on websites is not compelling. Currently, social media is compelling. And, you know, that's because, A, the ads are native to the platform. You don't know you're getting an ad when you're just scrolling through the feed.
Yeah.
You're not anticipating it the way you are in a pre-roll YouTube, even though that's a good medium. Definitely not like something going to commercial or like when you get an email with a title that you could tell is just spam. Like, humans are animals. We know. And I don't think brands are trying to provide enough entertainment value. I also think we're getting destroyed on relevance. My friend, most of the people listening here are involved with brands that have plenty of awareness.
You're right. Right.
They're losing on relevance. And what's amazing about social is you can make 30, 40. Again, I don't know if you caught this because I know you skimmed some of the parts. Like, I talk about cohorts, consumer segmentation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to me, it shouldn't be like, we need to go after, you know, Latinos in America. No, no, no. 18 to 22 year old Hispanic men in the Miami area. Now, you know, you're talking Cuban culture, but you may go 18 to 22, you know, Latino men in New York. And now you're going Dominican, Puerto Rico. Like, these cultural nuances matter, my man.
And
so, like, when you make, so now when you're doing 50 ads, by the way, all I'm saying is it's the 1950s and I'm doing print ads and direct mail ads every day, looking at the data to make better television commercials. That's all I'm saying.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all this is. To me, this is doing radio and television and direct mail day in and day out every day and using the quant and qual data. So don't forget, that means I'm advertising every day. I'm not testing and learning. I'm not throwing against the wall and see what sticks. I'm definitely not spraying and praying. I am advertising every day for the sake of better advertising.
Yeah. 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 Makes sense. Yeah. So one obligatory question here, you know, where do you see AI in the content creation process?
In the Fortune 500 land, we have to wait for copyright and trademark law to really catch up. Like, I think us putting, like, we're not putting out stuff at Vayner with that's AI generated because we don't know the source and we don't want to be liable and we don't want to put our clients in a bad position. So, but it's a foregone conclusion and all the entrepreneurs are already doing it in small brands. And I mean, it's technology, like it's going to be a way of thinking and prompt engineering and the way one thinks of the creative output. And it's going to be remarkable for the most creative people because they're going to be able to just, I'm going to be able to talk into a mic and make a 13-minute video that's going to crush, that is going to cost me far less and be exactly how I want it over, you know, because I can keep editing it in a way that I never could have done with my own creative team internally in production and like and cost. It's going to be profound.
Yeah, 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 definitely. But agreed that it's in some areas it's getting ready for prime time, but not for a lot of the stuff that you're mentioning. Yeah,
not if I understand your audience well, like. Yeah. You gotta get the lawyers involved. Like, you know, what are you gonna do if you're, you know, Church and Dwight? You're gonna put out a commercial and then get a cease and desist from Disney because they claim that some of their IP inspired. So like we've got a little ways to go.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, Gary, thanks so much for joining. One last question for you here. So, you know, I think a recurring theme here is, you know, keeping up with what's going on here and, you know, whether it's new platforms emerging or algorithm changes, all of that kind of stuff. It sounds to me like a mindset shift is what's really needed. You know, what would your advice be to those, you know, SVPs, CMOs out there listening? You know, how do they, not only for themselves, but for their teams, like how do they get that mindset shift?
There's a lot that comes through my mind, brother. Let me break it down a little bit here. One, a lot of parents come up to me because I'm very out and about. And they're like, Gary, I hate that my 11-year-old's on TikTok all day. What do I do? I'm like, take it off their phone. Yeah. And they're like, what? I'm like, delete it. You're the parent. She's 11. Right. Oh, but social pressure, this and that. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like everybody drank in my high school. I didn't because my mom mommed me. Right. Same here with this. I don't know if this is a mind shift. Well, first of all, to your point, it is a perspective and strategy standpoint. I am in deep belief that most of the SVPs and CMOs and VPs don't believe organic social is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I do believe that that will change. But I view that this is about the advertising ecosystem. You know, I talk to a lot of CMOs and they equally say to me, Gary, I can't get my internal social creative team or I can't get my agency to do this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, just like parents, I'm like, well, you're the boss.
Right.
You know, like if you have a relationship with a great creative AOR, let me pick one that I like admire, Droga5. I love David Droga. If Droga5 is doing your above the line and your mark, you know, creative, but also doing your social, and you look at the line item and you're paying $2 million for social and six above the line and your $8 million AOR, and they're posting never, and it's not their big, like, you're allowed to say to Droga5, like, do better, or you're allowed to do, like, this is how I built VaynerMedia. All those big creative agencies, we became the beneficiaries of becoming in the IAT to do the creative social.
Yeah, yeah.
And people saved money. They were paying Droga2, they paid us 1.5, they saved 500K, and we did it 10 million times better because it's our religion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to take it internal. If Droga5 is not making you happy and you don't want VaynerMedia, you're allowed to take internal and take it external. I have a lot of people right now reaching out to me and saying, I inherited an internal team. It's clearly not good. You know, like, can you help? So those people made the decision that they're allowed to take it from internal to go external or vice versa. But what I would say is, if you found this interesting, if and when you read the book, you find it even more interesting because it gets really detailed. And it gets into creators, it gets into product placement in TV shows instead of commercials. Like, I'm really going there, like, yeah. All like sampling as like a marketing strategy, trial. I think more of our brands need to get people to taste things. Influencers can be wildly overpriced or underpriced. You know, I go experiential, filming it to get content. I really, really think there's a lot of reinvention needs to be done. But I think it starts with everyone who's listening here that has the power to know that social is television now, and to make the changes on their team internally or externally, be accountable that you're the big boss.
Yeah. Love it.
I say that, Ray, I say this all the time. Vayner's got a lot of headaches and they're all my fault. Right? Because I empowered the person that hired yeah. this person. And I understand that Sally or Johnny's stinking right now, but how did they get there? I hired Greg and Greg hired Sally. Like, that's me.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of leaders here listening. And like, if your social's not great, that's on you. Yeah. And if your reporting internally isn't like justifying it, change the reports. That's what you did for television.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I love it. Yeah. That's great. Well, again, thanks so much for joining. I'd like to thank Gary Vaynerchuk for joining us and sharing your insights. You can check out Gary and his latest book by following the links in the show notes.
Hey everybody, I wanted to say that a new book is coming, a follow-up to Jab, 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 Right Hook, originally called Jab, 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 Left Hook, but I finally captured what I've been doing for the last 20 years as an entrepreneur, as a creator and influencer, as an operator of a marketing company that works with Fortune 5,000, 500 companies, and really the punchline of what I'm seeing in society, which is day trading attention, how to actually build brand and sales in a new social media world. I'm really proud of this book. When I read it, and some of you follow my social enough to see the clips, when I read it in studio, it got so deep, it goes so detailed. It goes macro and micro, as I like to roll. And so if you've not picked up a copy yet, go to GaryVee.com/DTA, which stands for Day Trading Attention. I have a feeling that this book, much like Jab, 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 Right Hook, literally got an email, they just read it, it's 10 years ago. The updated version of the marketing manual for your marketing team. Definitely if you have a social media person that runs your stuff, you need to get a book for them. And definitely the marketers in Fortune 500 for your staff and the entrepreneurs and creators and influencers who are trying to build something for themselves. So proud of it. Hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. The manual that we are going to give to everybody when they join VaynerMedia to read, and hopefully the manual to the modern marketing world, and especially social media first world. Day Trading Attention out this May 2024. Pre-order your copy now.